Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
The first day I met Luke, I noticed he was different from the other employees. I don't know how to explain it without sounding strange, but there was something about the way he moved as if he didn't quite fit in at the factory. He had been hired a few weeks ago on the night shift, just like me. We were both working in one of Amazon's huge warehouses, packing boxes for hours on end without a break. The work was repetitive, but it paid well, so I wasn't complaining. Luke was quiet, kept his head down, and did his work in silence. Unlike most, he didn't talk much during breaks or participate in team conversations. There was something about his look that made me uncomfortable. Every time I saw him, I had the feeling that he was watching me, even when he wasn't looking directly in my direction. However, every time I turned to check, he was immersed in his task, as if nothing was happening. At first, I thought it was paranoia on my part. After all, we were all cooped up in that factory for 10-hour shifts, and fatigue plays tricks on you. I didn't approach him for the first few days. Nor did I need to. The dynamics of the place were clear. You did your work, you took your breaks, and you didn't bother anyone. But everything changed when Tom, my closest coworker, started noticing the same things I was noticing. Tom had been at the factory for years, and if something was bothering him, it was a sign that something was wrong. "Have you noticed Luke?" he asked me one night over coffee. Up to that point, I thought only I had noticed. I nodded, trying not to show too much interest. But something in his tone left me uncomfortable. Days passed, and the tension mounted. Luke was still behaving strangely, but now it seemed more obvious. I noticed that he was staying longer than necessary after his shift, hanging around the hallway. Worst of all, little by little, it felt like it was becoming more personal. It wasn't just that he was in the factory more than he should be. It was that he was starting to show up in the places where I was, in the locker room, in the cafeteria, and even in the bathroom, always on the sideline, but there, watching. One day, while I was working, Tom told me that he had started getting strange messages on his phone. They were short messages, full of symbols and jumbled letters. At first, he thought it was a joke, but then he started receiving veiled threats. The worst part was that the messages were coming from an unknown number, and there was no way to trace them. Tom was concerned but tried to play it down. I hadn't received anything, but I couldn't ignore the growing sense that something wasn't right. The way Luke was looking at Tom and me had changed. It was more direct, almost invasive. One night, as we were leaving shift, Tom told me that Luke had followed him to his car. He didn't say anything, just followed him with a steady gaze, not turning away. Tom wasn't the kind of guy who was easily startled. But that night, I saw him more nervous than usual. What could we do? Accuse someone of looking at us funny? There was no evidence that anything was going on. What happened next, however, took our breath away. It was that very night when Tom stopped ignoring the problem. I ran into him in the break room, in a very bad mood. He told me he'd had a terrible night at home, that he'd had a fight with his wife, and that he hadn't been in the mood to be harassed at work. Tom told me that he was going to confront him, and if he didn't give him a good explanation as to why he was harassing him, he would talk some sense into him the hard way. I thought that at that moment it would be over, that the man would leave us alone. Hours later, Tom was found dead in one of the factory bathrooms. There was no sign of struggle, No blood. Nothing to indicate that he had suffered an attack. It looked as if he had simply dropped dead suddenly. Cardiac arrest, they said. Everyone began to theorize different things, but they all wondered what could have frightened or intimidated him enough to make him so nervous as to have a heart attack. After Tom's death, the atmosphere in the factory changed drastically. People spoke in whispers, and although no one said anything directly, everyone knew something wasn't right. Luke, however, remained his usual aloof and strange self. When Tom died, Luke disappeared for a week, and when he returned, he pretended nothing had happened. He didn't seem affected by Tom's death, and if he was, he hid it very well. From that day on, my life became a living hell. I couldn't stop thinking about what had happened with Tom. And worst of all, I felt like I would be next. I began to notice Luke was following me more often, and following me more obviously. I would see him in the hallways, in the locker room, even in the most secluded places in the factory where I knew he shouldn't be. But he never said anything. He would just look at me, with that vacant expression that chilled my blood. It got to the point where I couldn't take it anymore. I complained to the supervisor and told him that Luke was harassing me, that his behavior was strange, and that I felt unsafe working with him. But the supervisor didn't take me seriously. He's a weird guy, but as long as he's doing his job, I don't see the problem. One night, after my shift ended, I stayed longer at the factory, trying to avoid the moment when I would have to cross paths with Luke in the parking lot. When I finally came out, I saw him. He was standing in the distance, looking in my direction. I felt a knot in my stomach, but I tried to ignore it. I walked quickly to my car. But when I was halfway there, I heard hurried footsteps behind me. I turned just in time to see Luke running toward me. I didn't have time to react. In a matter of seconds, he was on me, hitting me with brutal force. He threw me to the ground, and before I could get up, he kicked me in the ribs, knocking the wind out of me. The only thing I remember clearly is his face. There was no hatred in his eyes, no anger, just a kind of disturbing calm, as if what he was doing was the most natural thing in the world. I got up as best I could and tried to defend myself, but it was useless. Luke was stronger than he looked. He grabbed me by the neck and threw me against one of the cars in the parking lot. I felt the impact throughout my body, but fear kept me alert. I staggered to my feet, and that's when he spoke for the first time. He said only one thing, in a tone so cold it chilled me to the bone. "You shouldn't have laughed." Those words stuck in my head. Suddenly, it all made sense. I remembered a day, early in his arrival. Tom and I had laughed at Luke for doing a procedure wrong on his first day. Had he really harassed us and killed Tom just for laughing? Suddenly, the man took off his shirt. His body was covered in tattoos, but they weren't just any tattoos. They were satanic tattoos, pagan and satanic symbols all over his body. I fell to the ground in fear. This man was terrifying. This was the last thing your friend saw before he died. He overreacted a little bit, but I admit he got very nervous when I told him I was going after his family. I barely had time to process what was happening when he punched me in the stomach. So much so that I fell backward and almost lost consciousness, but I found the strength to run to my car. I could barely breathe because of the pain in my ribs, but fear drove me on. I managed to get into the car and start the engine just as Luke was a few feet away from me. I accelerated without looking back, pulling out of the parking lot as fast as I could. I didn't stop driving until I got home. I locked myself in my room, shaking, trying to process what had happened. I didn't know what to do. Call the police? Tell them I was attacked by a coworker? They would surely investigate him, but Tom's death had already been closed, and they wouldn't arrest this man just for attacking me. What would come next after he's freed, too? I was too afraid of what Luke might do if I reported it. I never went back to work at the factory. I quit my job without warning, changed my phone number, and even moved cities. But the fear doesn't go away. Every time I go out on the street, I feel that someone's following me. Every noise, every shadow reminds me of Luke. I don't know if he's out there looking for me. My family might still be in danger, and I'm not going to lie to you. I'm scared to death. The story is based on the recent tragic event of a man who died in an Amazon warehouse. The man was found dead in the bathroom, victim of cardiac arrest. The circumstances of the death are still a mystery.
It was an ordinary day. Maggie, my daughter, was not at home. She was out with her friends, and that gave me a break to relax a little. I was home alone, enjoying a quiet afternoon. I ordered some things from Amazon last week, and according to the confirmation email, they were due to arrive today. At about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I heard the sound of a pickup truck pulling up in front of the house. I looked out the window and saw the typical Amazon delivery van. All normal, I thought. A short man in the usual uniform got out of the vehicle and headed toward the door with a package in his hand. It looked like just another delivery. I didn't think much of it. I walked to the door and opened it, expecting to receive the package. The man looked at me with a forced smile, but something about him was wrong. Maybe it was his clothes. They didn't quite fit. Also, something about his face made me believe he was hiding something. I thanked him for the delivery and turned to walk into the house with a package. I closed the door behind me and returned to the couch, leaving the package on the table. Minutes later, I looked out the window and noticed that he hadn't left. He had just driven around the block and parked again, a few meters from my house. I felt uneasy, but tried to rationalize it. Maybe he had more deliveries in the neighborhood. Maybe. I kept glancing sideways at the van as I tried to concentrate on what I was doing, but I couldn't. The man was getting out of the vehicle. He was just sitting there. Something didn't add up, but again I tried to reassure myself. Maybe he was taking a break. About half an hour later, I heard it again. The sound of footsteps approaching my door. This time, firmer, more determined. I opened the door, trying not to make a sound, and looked through the peephole. The same man was there, but he wasn't carrying a package this time. He was just standing there, as if waiting for something. He looked more tense, almost anxious. Panic began to rise in my chest, but I tried to remain calm. Maybe he just wanted to confirm something about the delivery, I thought. But before I could decide whether to open the door or not, he started banging on it, loudly, insistently. My heart started beating faster. The pounding on the door wouldn't stop. That, when I saw him. Through the side window, I caught a glimpse of what the man was holding in his hands. It wasn't a package or a delivery list. It was a shotgun. My blood froze instantly. I backed away from the door, not making a sound. The guy kept knocking harder and harder. I knew if I stood there just waiting for him, I wouldn't stand a chance. Without thinking too much, I ran into the kitchen, looking for something I could defend myself with. I had no weapons in the house. The closest option was a knife. I grabbed it with trembling hands and went back towards the door. The man was still there, banging on the door with the butt of the shotgun now, trying to break it. There was nothing I could do. He was going to enter. I couldn't wait any longer. Before he managed to get inside, I yanked the door open and lunged at him with a knife in front of me. I lunged at his body, trying to attack him and take the shotgun from him. He was stronger than I expected. We became entangled in a brutal fight. I managed to scratch him on the arm, but he hit me in the head, knocking me to the ground. The shotgun slipped out of his hand and he stumbled back, breathing heavily. And then, with a shove, he broke free from my grip and grabbed the shotgun. Nervous and realizing I had lost, I ran back inside my house and hid. The guy wasted no time. I may have hit him before he saw me, but as soon as he got inside, he raised the shotgun and started firing wildly. I ran to hide behind one of the couches as I heard glass breaking and furniture falling. I had to find an opportunity to escape or attack him, but if he opened fire in my direction, I would be dead. The guy was firing uncontrollably as if he just wanted to sow chaos. I felt the bullets pass dangerously close. Each explosion made my heart beat faster, but I couldn't stand still. I had to think of something. I got close enough to peek down the hallway and saw him looking for something. The man was looking for me, but he was also stealing everything he could. Is this what this was all about? A robbery? The man was searching the rooms. I hadn't reached my hiding place yet, but it was only a matter of time. I tried to slip toward the back of the house, toward the back door. I was making my escape before he caught me. But then I heard a sound that made me stop in my tracks. It was Maggie. She had just come home. She came in scared to see all the wreckage. The man had heard her, too. He turned his head toward the front door. He didn't look happy. He didn't want to have to deal with someone else. But I saw it in his eyes, and he was willing to do it. I knew I couldn't let him hurt her. I had to act. The guy shot out the front door, shotgun in hand. I didn't think about it. I jumped out of my hiding place and lunged at him, hitting him in the back before he could get out of the house. The impact staggered him, but he didn't drop the gun. We began to grapple again. This time, he had a clear advantage. He managed to push me to the ground, but with one swift movement, I knocked the shotgun out of his hands. The man began to run desperately towards his truck, and furious, I pointed the shotgun at him and pulled the trigger. The bullet didn't come out, and it was at that moment that I realized I had no bullets. The man tried to run, but it was no use. The police caught him a few meters from the house. They handcuffed him and took him away. He left, crying and kicking, definitely not a psychopath or anyone out of his mind, just an attempted thief. Maggie stayed on the ground the whole time, confused and sad. She asked me why that man tried to kill us. I just gave her the simplest and most direct answer I could think of. He wanted to rob us. She asked me if it was just that, as if expecting a much more elaborate answer. I told her no, and she started crying. That psycho tried to kill us just to rob us, and the lack of real motive only made the situation more empty and sad for both of us.
Whenever everyone asks me about my days as an Amazon driver, I always told them the same thing. It was very well paid, they gave you a lot of freedom with your and it was a very good work environment. The next question I got asked was, why did I leave the job? I always answered that it was because I wanted to work in a different job, but the truth is different. I never quit. I was fired. The reason? I was arrested for a murder I didn't commit. I must admit that I had a great degree of guilt for what happened that afternoon. It all started when I went to send an order to a house. But when I got there, a huge dog prevented me from approaching. I was about to leave, but I saw a woman coming back from shopping. She looked very scared and in a hurry. I approached her to tell her I had a shipment from Amazon. But when she heard me, she got very upset and started yelling at me.
Get out of here! I don't want any packages. Just go away.
Ma'am, are you okay? If you want, I can leave the package at your house and...
No! Go away now. If you want to say you gave it to me, I don't care. Just go!
Okay, ma'am. I'm sorry to disturb you. And without saying more, the woman simply locked herself in her house crying. I decided not to bother her anymore, so I left with my truck for the next delivery. During the trip, I kept thinking, what was in the box that had scared her so much? Why was she so reluctant to open it? I was so confused, what was I supposed to do with the box? At that moment, I decided to do something I regretted. I decided that if she had given me authorization to say that she had received it, I could open it. On my break, I slowly approached the box. I knew this was a bad idea and I would have to forge the girl's signature. But maybe it was something valuable, something she didn't want for some reason that only a madman could understand. I cut the box with small scissors and checked the contents. It was all jewelry, things of value, belongings of what looked like a woman. This was a lot. Maybe I could sell it. Why wouldn't the girl want to receive it? Whatever the case, I forged the lady's signature and advised that it had been delivered. I knew I could lose the job. I knew that if the lady changed her mind, everyone could see that it was not her signature. But she seemed very convinced, and I needed the money. Once I got home, I left the box of stuff in the truck, knowing that I would sell it when I found someone who could give me a lot of money for the jewelry. After eating, I lay down on my little bed with a big smile on my face and fell asleep instantly. That night, I had slept very well, but when I woke up, I felt something was wrong. I woke up very agitated and scared as if I had a horrible nightmare. The problem is that I was having a nightmare when I was awake. I felt that something in my house was wrong. I never believed in energies, but this time it felt like a negative energy was surrounding my room. It was still 3:03 a.m. I wanted to continue sleeping, but something wouldn't let me. Suddenly, I heard a loud noise in front of me, and when I looked, I realized I was not alone. At that terrifying moment, I could see a woman in front of me. She was in a pink bathrobe and was moving slowly in my direction.
Hello? Who are you? Do you need anything?
There was something uneven in her steps. Something was not normal. I looked at her feet, and that's when it hit me. This wasn't a person. She was floating. I tried to get away from her, but I was locked in. I went to a corner of the room, covering my eyes as if to protect myself from something. I couldn't hold my nerves as I opened my eyes again, and the ghost woman was in front of me, staring at me, full of fury, while she brought her hand close to my face to do who knows what to me. I ran as fast as I could, thinking she was going to catch me. But she barely made an attempt to catch me. I jumped into the van I used to make deliveries and accelerated as fast as I could. As I did so, the girl stood there staring at me. What was that? A ghost? Why was it attacking me? It couldn't be. Surely it was a rude joke or a new method of stealing that thieves had. Jokes on them. The box was still here with me. It can't be. The girl was here with me? I got so scared that I lost control of the van and crashed into a car in the street. All I remember after that is getting out of the truck hurt and confused while neighbors in the area came up to help me. After that, I just closed my eyes and passed out. When I opened my eyes again, I was in the hospital. But for some reason, I was having trouble moving. At that moment, I realized what was going on. I was handcuffed. I looked in front of me, and I was not alone. The woman in the gown was in front of me, walking slowly towards me. I screamed as loud as I could for help. A nurse rushed over to see me, but instead of coming to assist me, they called the police, telling them I was already awake. The woman kept coming closer. I could only cry and close my eyes. Suddenly, something touched my arm. When I opened my eyes, it wasn't the woman in the robe. It was a police officer. I looked around, and the woman was gone. I thought I was safe with the police officers, but I realized they did not treat me like a victim, but like a criminal. The cops wanted to know everything about the box and the belongings. I just told them the truth. I told them everything that happened with the woman in the house. Not satisfied with my answer, they told me that they had to check with the woman to see if what I told them was true and threatened me to spend my whole life in jail. When I asked them what was going on, I froze. Those things in the box belonged to a woman who had been harbored a few hours earlier. The woman had been killed by mobsters. At the time of her death, she had just taken a bath and was wearing a bathrobe, just like the woman who was stalking me. Shortly after, I was released, and that's when I learned the whole truth. The woman to whom I had to take the box was the victim's sister, and the mafia had sent her that box to threaten her husband, who had a big debt with him. The victim's sister knew what was going on and was so terrified of what was in the box that she threw me out the moment she saw me. The police may have confirmed that my story was real, but that meant I had stolen a box that I was supposed to return. For stealing that box, I not only lost my job, I may have lost my life. The police may have let me go free, but the spirit of the dead girl did not. Sometimes I see her hanging around my house and watching me sleep. I always wake up in time and escape, but I feel that each time she is closer. I fear what she might do to me when she catches me. I feel it will be horrible, and that's her right. After all, I was the one who opened the box with all her belongings, releasing all the energy that was in them, just for my personal benefit.
If your go-to shopping destination is Amazon, this story might interest you. I'm Zach. I used to be an Amazon delivery man, and today, I'm about to share the worst experience I had while working on this job. The experience that ultimately made me quit the job. I mean, I know Jeff Bezos makes a lot of money from this, but I'm not paid enough to risk my life to deliver a package. If you're a delivery person, you already know which part of your town is nice and which is sketchy. On this particular day, I had to deliver items to the sketchy neighborhood. Trust me when I tell you, I've seen some serious stuff go down in this neighborhood, like drugs, abuse, and whatnot. So when I was informed that I was allocated to that area for the day, I started mentally preparing myself. Most of the homes in this area were under-maintained and dirty. That is, it was a miracle that people were able to live in them. Also, there were a lot of trailers there, too. Crime and illegal activities were practiced in broad daylight in this area. The last time I was there, a bunch of guys in their early 20s tried to steal the packages from my van and beat me. I narrowly escaped them and drove away from there, without delivering most of the packages. I always knew this job was never worth more than my life. That day, however, my plan was simple. Complete the drop-off as fast as I can and get the hell out of there. Plus, to my surprise, I only had 7 deliveries to make, which was surprisingly less. I reached the neighborhood and drove my van to the first address, which was a rundown home, with its porch and roof in extreme need of repair. I knew the woman who lived there. She was a drug addict and was a hoarder. So, no wonder she had ordered another item from Amazon. I quickly rang her doorbell and dropped the box at her doorstep. The moment she opened the door, I left for my van. The next couple of deliveries were smooth and quick. I only had 3 packages left with me. The third to last package was to be delivered to a trailer converted into a home. The minute I rang the doorbell, a shrill cry could be heard from the inside. A baby had started to cry in this home. Suddenly, a very thin and distressed woman opened the door, and before I could hand her the package, she yelled at me for ringing the bell. Trust me, I've had my fair share of dealing with rude people on this job. So instead of arguing, I just apologized, handed her the package, and left. The moment I read the second to last address on the list, I was a bit shocked, because I thought this home was abandoned and that no one lived there. It was the biggest home in the neighborhood, towering over all the others. It was so run down that it almost looked like one of those haunted houses from the horror movies. Nevertheless, I drove up to the address and took the big box-shaped package along with me to the doorstep of the house. Firstly, there was no bell, so I placed the heavy box in the porch and knocked on the door. No one answered. Now, I could leave this package on the porch if it weren't a cash-on-delivery, which meant I had to get a hold of someone living in the house. I knocked twice and then realized that the front door wasn't locked. I know this is very unusual for delivery people to just go into a house, but I stepped inside anyway. The house was indeed abandoned. It was covered in dust and cobwebs. Old furniture was left there to rot. The deeper I walked into the house, the spookier it got. Finally, I decided to call out and see if anyone was in the house. Hello? Is anyone there? I'm here to deliver a parcel from Amazon. Pin drop silence. No one answered from the house. Hello? Is anyone at home? I tried again, but to no avail. No one replied. I was starting to think that this was some kind of prank, but I had an obligation to my job. So instead of just leaving, which is what I should have done now that I think about it, I walk up to a neighboring trailer and ask the old man living in it if anyone lived in the big house. He told me that no one had lived there in the past decade and shut the door in my face. Dejected, I walked back to the house and walked into it again. Hello? Is anyone there? Please come to the door to receive the package. I got other packages to deliver. This time, I didn't hide the irritation in my voice. Just when I was planning to pick up the package and get back to my van, I heard an animal-like voice from upstairs. Now, I knew that the stairs in such an old and neglected house wouldn't be in great condition, but I still went up them. The upper floor was much darker with hardly any light coming through the dirt-covered windows. From a room at the end of the hallway, I heard the animalistic voice again. It almost felt like it was a character from a horror movie. Hello? Anyone there? Again, no reply. But this time, the animal-like grunts intensified. I reached the room, took a long breath, and pushed open the door, which was not locked. This room was pitch black, and it took my eyes some time to see what was inside the room. In the farthest corner of the dark room, there was a very skinny woman, sitting. She had her back to the room and was facing the wall. She was wearing a thin gown, and her hair was covering her face. Hello, miss. Can I help you? I asked. The woman just rocked back and forth like a little kid. No response to my question, she just grunted. I walked closer to her, taking tentative steps in her direction. The moment I was close enough to touch her, I placed my hand on her shoulder. I don't know what happened next because it happened so quickly. The woman snapped. She stood and attacked me, grunting and screaming. I stumbled back a few steps and then finally fell on something that felt like a table. Glass shattered beside me and the things on the table fell around me. I somehow managed to get back on my feet. The woman was still trying to run towards me, but something was holding her back. When I looked closer, I saw she was chained to the wall, which meant she could only walk a few feet anywhere in the room. Her face was the scariest thing I had ever seen. It was so thin and pale and sunken that she almost looked like a corpse. Her eyes, however, were red, and her mouth was foaming. Her matted hair stuck to her face and body. My first instinct was to run away, but I whipped out my cell phone and looked around the dark room with a flashlight. To my utter surprise, it was some kind of science lab with various equipment. The most horrible part wasn't the chained woman, but the fact that there was a dog caged in one corner and a bowl of water and rice in there. Whatever was happening in that room seemed straight out of a horror movie. I ran back downstairs and found the package missing. Instead of trying to find it, I just went to my van and drove off. Given the fact that I had lost one package and not delivered the other, I knew I would be fired, so I quit my job that day as an Amazon delivery driver. Now that I look back at it.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
I think that place was used as some kind of drug experimentation lab. They were experimenting with drugs on humans. Also, I believe that the stolen parcel probably had some type of lab equipment in it. What do you think? Should I have informed the cops or not? What exactly was wrong with that woman? Also, who stole the package?